Good morning. Over the last 7 weeks, we have been talking about who is Jesus. And I have to tell you, this series of sermons was a departure from my yearly plan of preaching. I did have a direction to go for the month of September and October, but as I got to that point in the year, it was like God was leading me in a different direction. And I've, all this year, have been giving emphasis to this theme of mission possible. And I felt it important at this point to challenge us to get to know Jesus better. And as we get to know Jesus better, then we can share Jesus with others and help them get to know Jesus better. Jesus is really all that matters. He's the one who died for us to save us from our sins. He's the one who raised up from the dead on the third day that we could have his victory over sin, over the devil, and over the grave. It's in Jesus that we have hope. It's in Jesus that we have help and deliverance. It's in Jesus that we have comfort and peace of mind. It's in Jesus that we have security and stability. It's been referenced a couple of times already this morning that these blessings that we have as ours through Jesus, they're not going to come from that person who is elected on Tuesday, whoever that might be. These blessings are in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus that we have purpose and meaning to life. We live in very turbulent times. And we really don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who is on the throne, and we know who is in control, and we can put our trust in him. I want to encourage you to look to Jesus. Take refuge in Jesus. Plant your roots deep into Jesus, and he will not let you down. My brother Tom used to say to me quite often, "Preach Jesus, Kevin. You can't ever go wrong by preaching Jesus." And I think he hit the nail on the head. So, over these last 7 weeks, that's what I've been preaching to you. I have been preaching Jesus to you. I have said to you that he is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. He is the Son of Man, the Son of Abraham, and the Son of God. Last week I talked to you about the fact that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he is the Lion of Judah. And today I want to touch on this point. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture that gives emphasis to this, Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 16. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verses 12 through 16. "Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches." There is no doubt who's speaking in this passage of Scripture of Revelation chapter 22. It's Jesus talking. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Jesus is definitely making a claim to deity here. He's saying, I was in the beginning and I will be there at the end of time. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And if by chance you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to this passage. And particularly if you have a red letter edition Bible, I want you to turn to this passage, because I don't think we're going to get that on the screen here as to whether the letters are red or whether they're black. In fact, they're white on the screen here. But I want us to find out, I want us to understand who's speaking in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Revelation. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. At first glance, you would think God is talking in this passage. In fact, it says, the Lord God is saying this. The Almighty is the one doing the talking in this verse. But if you have your Bibles open, as I do, to that passage of Scripture, and my Bible is a red letter edition, verse 8 is in red letters. And what's that mean? That means Jesus is talking. Because if you have a red letter Bible edition, then all the letters that are in red is Jesus talking. And that's the case in this passage of Scripture. And I had several other Bibles in my office. I say several. I had two that I looked at that are red letter editions, different than this one. And in each of those two Bibles, Revelation 1 verse 8 is in red letters. And certainly, if you look at the context of this passage, it's all about Jesus. Verse 7, it says, He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. Okay, that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who's been pierced. And He says, I will be coming. And so you know verse 7 is Jesus talking, or it's talking about Jesus. If you look down at verse 12 and following, John is describing a heavenly vision from that God has given to him. And in that vision, he sees one like the Son of Man standing amidst the seven lampstands. Now, we've already looked at in past weeks who the Son of Man is. It's Jesus. The Son of Man is the title given to Jesus more than any other title in the New Testament. And where is it that the Son of Man is standing? He's standing right in the middle of the churches. That's a comforting thought to us. Whatever we go through, He is in the middle of it with us. And then if you look down at verse 17 and 18, we're checking the context here of verse 8. The verses before, the verses after. And we're going to find that they are all talking about Jesus. Verse 17 and 18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last, and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. We know that's talking about Jesus too. He says, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have these keys, the keys of death and Hades. We know that's Jesus talking. And so you go back to verse 8. Yes, this is all about Jesus. And what is it that Jesus is saying to us? He's saying, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Do you know who else has made this same claim of being the Alpha and the Omega? Look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 7. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 7. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, here it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Do you you note from Scripture? This time, it's God speaking. And he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The letters are in black. They're not in red. And so you have both Jesus and God at different times saying that they are the Alpha and the Omega. This very claim by God to be the beginning and the end, it's not a new claim. During Isaiah's time, God said this, Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. That's Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. And how about this from Isaiah 48, verse 12? Listen to me, O Jacob, even Israel, whom I called. I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last. I just find it interesting that Jesus takes God's name from the Old Testament. It's very clear that God has made this name for himself. He is the first and he is the last. He is the beginning and the end. And Jesus comes along and he says, guess what? I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I have always been, I am, and I always will be. He's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be one with God, one and the same as God. Think about this. Jesus was before David. Though in the Old Testament, David's 1,000 years before Jesus. Think about this. Jesus was before Moses. Though in the Old Testament, Moses was 1,600 years before Jesus. He was before Abraham. He was before Adam. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first verse of chapter 1 of the book of beginnings. Guess what? Jesus was in on that. According to Colossians chapter 1, Jesus was in on that. All things were created by him and for him and through him. The Apostle John reiterates that fact. He wrote these words, He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, who's the us? And when he says, "Let's make man in our image," who's he talking to? He's talking to Jesus, because Jesus was with him in the beginning. Jesus existed before time. He's eternal. And that's hard for our minds to really grab a hold of, but as David Jeremiah says, a God who is small enough to be understood isn't big enough to be worshiped. Let that sink in for a moment. Think about this. There has never been a moment that Jesus didn't exist. And there will never come a moment that Jesus will cease to exist. Now, I can't hardly get my mind wrapped around that. But it's a reminder to me that God and his son Jesus are bigger than what my pea-sized brain can grasp. And I am so glad they are. We need a big God who can handle the big problems that we face in this world. Please understand this. Jesus had the first word, and he will have the last word. His first recorded word, along with his Father, "Let there be light." Let there be light. His word was and is authoritative, because when he said, "Let there be light," there was light just that fast. His word is and was authoritative. All of creation obeys the voice of the Creator. The wind obeys his voice. The waters obey his voice. In the book of Exodus, as you read through the plagues, you see the frogs obeyed his voice, and the flies, and the darkness, and the hail, it all of creation obeys the voice of the Creator. It would be a good idea if you and I obey his voice too. Whatever he tells us to do, we do it because he is the Lord. He is the Almighty One, and he is the beginning and the end. I had a situation recently where I knew what God was saying to me, but there was a little tug of war going on inside of me as to whether I really wanted to do and obey. You ever have that happen to you? You ever have that little tug of war inside, that wrestling match, as you know the direction that God is leading you towards? But there's just this hesitation, this resistance. And this particular tug of war was going on with me because I was going to have $50 more in my pocket if I went my own direction rather than his direction. I had a nail gun and a couple of coils of nails and a siding tool that I had agreed to sell to a fella in Fort Scott. And we had agreed on a price through texting. But it was several weeks later that he was actually going to come and make the exchange of money for the tools. And so those weeks went by. And when we finally got together to make the deal, to make the exchange, the deal had already been made a few weeks earlier. And he is trying to give me $50 more than what we had agreed upon. I knew that. He didn't know that. He had forgot the deal that we had made. And I'm thinking, hey, this is my lucky day. $50 more in my pocket. And that's what my flesh was saying to me at the time as he's trying to give me this money. And yet there was a still small voice going on right here that was saying, And I told him, I said, hey, you're giving me too much. We agreed on this price. And you know what? He went away happy, but I think I went away happier because I had been honest and I had, though there was a little hinging there, there was some thought, I went with God's word. I went with his direction to me. And I was thinking afterwards, you know, the next time I get up to preach at Reinhardt on the subject of honesty, I'm not going to have something to deal with in the back of my mind. And I'm glad about that. But do you ever have that wrestling match between what the flesh wants to do and what God wants you to do? I want to encourage you to obey his voice because he is the first and the last. He is the Almighty One. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He had the first word and he will have the last word. And we simply need to submit to him, to obey him. I want to ask you, are you listening to his voice? Maybe you recall at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is there and he's having just this intense whiteness, this unbelievable whiteness over his whole being. And God's voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And we need to listen to him. I had a birthday a few weeks ago, and my daughter Rebecca, she's always coming up with one of these birthday cards that she grabs off of the humorous side of birthday cards. And she did it again. And the card says, today, Dad, whatever you say goes. Wow, I like that. But you turn it over and she says, after all, I was raised to respect old people. Oh boy, that girl. I want to give this card to Jesus, but I want to tweak it a little bit. Today, Jesus, whatever you say goes. And you turn the card over and it says, because you are Lord of all, you had the first word and you will have the last word. Whatever you say, Jesus, goes. If you read the context of Revelation 22, where Jesus makes that final claim of being the Alpha and the Omega, it's all about the judgment. He will have the last say. For the ones who have put their trust in Him and they've been clothed with His righteousness, then there will be rewards, and we'll hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." But for the ones who have not trusted Jesus as Savior, there will be a judgment against them, and it will be the most terrible words ever heard by mankind, where He says, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, I never knew you." I don't want anyone here to hear those words. I want us all to hear the words of reward, and we can if we will give our lives to Him. That's what it's all about. Not that we have a life that measures up, but rather that we have a trust in Him as Savior. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it's been mentioned throughout this service today by Shannon and then by Austin and then in my preaching as well, that You are on the throne. You are in control. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And so, Lord, let us listen to You. In Jesus' name, amen.